We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio, making sure everything works right for us here on the Big 870. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for Triple Option. And then at 7 o'clock, it'll be the Jay Johnson Show. It was a rough weekend for the Tigers baseball team, losing two of three to the Gators, and Saturday night was a rough one. Man, had them by the teriyaki, Charlie, and then, man, you would figure the one dude that can beat you, pow!
Yeah, Cags had a great weekend. Man, he was incredible. He showed where he's going to be a top five pick in the upcoming draft, and Jay said he might even be the number one overall guy off the board. Florida's Jack Aguilar.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He is the Shohei Ohtani of college baseball.
He sure is.
He's incredible. But if you're looking at that Saturday game, as you said, Mike, tough loss. And Jay said that a couple times in the presser yesterday. He mentioned that in his 20 years of doing this, he's had some really hard losses. That's up there. I mean, you're looking at what happened with Malazzo. The ball gets away from him with two outs. It's a strikeout in the top of the eighth inning.
You're up
two runs. And it gets away from him, a run scores, and then the ninth inning, you're still one out away. Nate Atkin hasn't dealt with a lot of base runners in his relief appearance on Saturday. He got out of a lot of trouble, but a two-out base hit ends up tying the game, goes to extra innings. And I'm not going to put that game on the pitching staff. Like, that's two-out runs scored in the eighth and ninth innings to tie the game up and send it into the extras. I'm going to put it on the offense, Mike. And we've called them inconsistent, and they've been inconsistent. But at times they've been pretty flat out bad.
And I know yesterday they were bad.
They were flat out bad on Sunday for sure. But when you go up 4-2 and you have all the momentum, Mike, they didn't have anything after that. In the final, you know, the extra innings as well, Jack Aguilar hits that two run shot in the 11th, and then LSU just doesn't even respond. I mean, they had no life after those two home runs by Bingham and Jones. After they took that 4-2 lead, they didn't put up a single more run in that game. They end up losing it in extra innings. And after that loss, you were kind of hoping, okay, maybe they can bounce back. Mike, that Sunday performance was ugly.
Yeah, it was as bad as it could get. And so this weekend don't get too much easier, right? Man, Arkansas, man.
Well, and don't even overlook Southeastern.
And Southeastern tomorrow.
You know what happened the last time they played.
Yeah, exactly. But LSU's women's basketball team, after a rough first half, and they fell behind. They were down at halftime, down by seven in the second half. Man, all of a sudden it clicked. That defense was unbelievable. Started hitting shots. They were getting it inside. And so Kim Mulkey and the LSU Tigers head back to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise. I think that you were supposed to take down that Middle Tennessee State team. I know that they had won 30 games. They were solid. They upset Louisville. But you're at the PMAC. You have a trip to the Sweet 16 on the line. Yeah, they did what they were supposed to do. Now they'll find out who they play tonight.
That's right.
UCLA plays Creighton, then the 2-7 game of the Albany 2 Regional. That's going to be at, I think, 7:30 Central Time. So Tiger fans will be tuned into that, see who they play in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Friday night and go and eat out. I met up with Nicholls State women's basketball coach Justin Payne. And Justin had told me, Mike, get ready. I think LSU might have a real tough game here against Middle Tennessee. And he brought up they had not lost since December 30th and that they were really good three-point shooting team. Now, they got cold in the second half. They got really cold against LSU shooting. But he said, you know, they got some size, some length, some physicality. And he said, I think LSU, if they don't play well, they be in for quite a battle. And they were, but, man, LSU pulled it away, and it really was a big pull away as it went on. And I think a lot of people wondered after what happened the Friday night with some leakage of that their story that was going to come out in the Washington Post, and then Coach Mulkey addressing it Saturday in a press conference. Would that be a distraction? And if it was, it was a short one, because man, LSU, those women's really came back and played a great, great second half to defeat Middle Tennessee. And the story hasn't come out yet. And we live in that world, Charlie, where I think, you know, negativity sells. And if you are successful, not only in sports, in business and politics and law and medical field, whatever, you're going to have a lot of scrutiny. And there's a lot of scrutiny there. And I was telling this to Bobby, who came in to cut a commercial this afternoon, that I live next door to a former NFL coach and Joe Clark, who coached over 50 years, major college football in the NFL. He passed away a couple years ago. And I remember a few months before he passed away, he talked about, you know, man, I don't know how some of the guys that I coach for would handle that today. And he played for and coached under Paul Brown with the Cleveland Browns. He was the backup to Otto Graham, and then he coached with Otto when he coached in the NFL. And he coached for Phil Bingston and Bill Walsh and Forrest Gregg and a number of other top coaches. And he said, you know, nobody really worried about their political stance or, you know, socially how they felt about certain things. It was about winning and taking care of your players. He said, today, that's totally changed. Totally changed now. They want to know everything about you, your political stance, your social views, what you do here, what you do there. And if you're successful, I think there is people that maybe you've rubbed the wrong way or feel as though that you've been rubbed the wrong way. And that's just not in the sports world. But we have not seen the article yet in the Washington Post. And the article that was written a few years back when Brian Kelly got the job, I mean, I get it. You know, he's writing an article. Brian's making $10 million a year, and the poverty level and everything in the Baton Rouge and surrounding areas. You could write that about any coach in major college football today. You could write it about anyone in that spot. It's just the market that they get paid. And, okay, not to say the story was wrong. He had the facts correct, but it just was basically saying about, you know, how LSU's paying these coaches all this money, but actually that's from donors giving money. It's not the school giving it. Most of that's coming from donors giving money. And if that's what they want to do with their money, hey, God bless you. If that's how you want to give your money away. But I'm interested in reading the story before coming on. We'll talk to Jordy Collada and Blake Ruffino today a little bit more about it. But we do live in that world, Charlie. That anything that has success, you're going to have a lot of peeping eyes after you.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, you're always going for the king of a sport, right? Like, I feel like Jay's talked a little bit about that too. And when he was previewing that game against Florida, the weekend series in general, he's just like, yeah, like, you know, we're still hunting them. They have so much success over the past decade plus. Like, it's crazy to think about. We won a national championship just last year, but I mean, they're a great competitive team just as we are. So, I mean, everyone wants to take down those top teams, right?
And top teams, it's coaches, top players.
It's not just, you know, baseball or women's basketball. It's across all of sports, Mike.
It's across all of life. It's everything.
That's true as well.
Everything across the board. You know, they're going to do pieces on you. And so I was contacted about an individual outside of the sports world that they do in a magazine article on. You know, I just know them like that. You know, we've been friends, but it's not like we hang out, we shoot in pool or playing cards and stuff like that. And just by the comments, I could tell it's a negative slant toward him. Okay, he's made his money. So what? You know, it's legit. how he's made his money and done things. So, but I could tell, you know, kind of how the story was. I don't know nothing about nothing, so to speak. And so I didn't go along with the story at all, but I get it. I get it. There are, and you got people out there that when you have some success, there is some negativity that's going to go your way one way or another. And a lot of it having nothing to do with what you're doing in your profession. It's a lot of it having to do outside the personal side of things. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. We've had some texts about it, but LSU game versus Southeastern will be on tomorrow at 6:30 right here on the Big 870 WWL and live and free on the Odyssey app. So LSU Southeastern tomorrow night, 6:30 from the box. And I think that'll be a bounce back game for the Tigers. One of the things over the weekend, man, a guy, I knew him when he was in 10th, going to the 10th grade, 11th grade, Jarius Sneed. He gets traded, I think late Friday night from the Chiefs to the Tennessee Titans.
How about that?
And he's going to average a little under $20 million a year. I think it's 19.6 is what they're kind of projecting it at. He played a lot of wide receiver wing back at Minden High School. But his coach had always told me they're going to project him to play cornerback in college football. He was a middle-range recruit in the state. I know University of Louisiana Lafayette was after him, Arkansas State. He went to Tech, started a couple years at corner, and then in his senior year, they moved him to safety, and he was really good there. And he's a big corner, 6 foot tall. He could run like hell. I mean, he was fast. I think that year at our pro football camp, Dr. David Elias's camp, I think he was the second fastest guy there. The fastest guy there was the 100-meter champion in the state of Louisiana, so he was number two. Physical corner. He gets called for some penalties sometimes because he's a little grabby and a little physical, but he makes some big plays. We all go back to that play with Zay. Man, he's right at the goal line.
Stripped him.
He popped the ball out. Teams don't challenge him much because he sort of beats up receivers, and the Titans have a big void at the cornerback position. Notchfield, I think they just got the I's, the dot T's to cross on the contract, but that's a big trade. You didn't give up much. A third-round pick in 2025
and a seventh-round pick. Yeah,
I mean, the seventh.
What are the Chiefs doing?
That's why I told you this 2 weeks ago, last week again. If that's what I'm going to get back from Marshawn Lattimore,
no.
He's staying on my team. I'll bend the fence, whatever has to be done, but I'm not giving him away. I'm not into giveaway good player business. I get it from Kansas City's standpoint that they got a lot of players they got to eventually pay, and they don't pay corners. They mostly let those guys sort of walk away. They just paid Chris Jones, and so you get it that one of the two wasn't going to be back, and so Sneed's now with the Tennessee Titans, and that leaves a void at the cornerback position for the Chiefs. They did spend a first-round pick on a corner a couple years back in McDuffie, who's a really good player, and you got to eventually pay him down the line. But, man, glad for LeJarius, and was a really good dude in life, and it really made it big not only at Louisiana Tech, but certainly with the Chiefs, and a real physical guy. You'd love to see the way he plays because he sort of beats up on a receiver. You don't let him get off the line of scrimmage too far before you got his hands on him.
And just to reemphasize, Mike, as you mentioned, if that's the market for a top cornerback in the league,
pass.
I am not moving Marshon Lattimore.
No way. I'm in that fence, whatever has to be done there, but I'm not giving him away for a third-round pick, a third and a seventh. No, he's better on my team than me getting a third and a seventh. And, man, look, you're taking a shot with draft choices. I know what I have in Marshon Lattimore, but that's sort of the going price. You're not getting back a lot for a cornerback today because we had talked about it. At least you would get a second-round pick for Snead. They didn't even get that. And not even for this year. It's for next year.
Count me out.
I'm out of it.
I've been out of it.
But congratulations to Snead. I'm glad to see he hit big. And the one thing with him, money's not going to change him. He's been that sort of guy all his life, that he's a focused, physical guy. And I think he'll do a really good job with the Titans shoring up a secondary that, good Lord, they need help. Man, they got burned like a drum, beat up and everything last year.
Yeah, their front wasn't bad. It's just that they were like the 32nd ranked pass defense in the NFL. So, yeah,
you're going out
and getting a top cornerback for a pretty cheap price. It is a huge win for the Tennessee Titans. And I think it's a big loss for the Chiefs. As you mentioned, they have to pay a lot of players, but get some more than a third and a seventh. What are you doing?
And that deal actually was cut like a week and a half ago, and they just sort of sorting out the details of it. So good gracious. But, man, good for the Titans. They certainly could use the help on that. Congratulations to the Pelicans. This is 12 out of 15 games they've won.
3-1 road trip. That's all we were asking for.
And that's what you were looking for. And yesterday, I get you were playing the Pistons, but still, you could have laid an egg there.
And now you got the 6-game homestand coming up, Mike. We'll talk a little bit about
take
it later on.
Take care of business at home.
Oh, my
now.
Goodness. No, I mean, just tread water. Like, the teams you're playing, it's vicious. Just go, like, 3-3. I'll be happy with it.
When we come back, we'll have Jordy Collada from the Jordy Collada Podcast. His show does a great job covering the LSU Tigers, football, baseball, basketball. We'll have Jordy on with us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, from the Jordy Collada Podcast. Jordy does a great job covering LSU. Jordy Collada himself. So, Jordy, thanks so much for joining us, bud.
Charlie and Mike, it's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me back.
Jordy, right off the bat, Charlie and I talked about this earlier, but, you know, when you're successful in doing stuff, you're going to have a lot of people kind of looking at you. And it doesn't matter if it's sports or politics, business world, medical world, you name it. If you're a top lawyer, whatever, everybody comes a looking for a story. And sometimes personalities kind of give you a longer antenna to catch it. I think we're seeing this with the Washington Post, and we haven't seen the story yet on Kim Mulkey, but I think Kim's reaction Saturday sort of told you a little bit about, I think she knows a little bit more about the story than she has led on to be. It's natural that if you're given a set of questions, you sort of know where you're going with this. Your thoughts on this, because in the world we live in today, I had a former NFL coach who lived next to me for over 30 years. He was like, Mike, they don't want to know some of the stories I knew throughout the years with some of the personalities. Some of them I got along with well, some of them I didn't. Some players I coached, I got along with well, some I didn't. It's the nature of the business. And now we can say that about just about anything. They want to know your politics. They want to know your social views, everything about you, and you become a lightning rod. Kim's become that.
Well, yeah, Mike, kind of further on your point, I think you spend an extended amount of time in any industry, it's going to be easy, or not necessarily easy, but, you know, the ability to find people who may not have enjoyed their experiences
right
with you, you know, becomes greater by the time you spent. Kim's been in coaching for 35 years. She's had a lot of success through that time. She's garnered a lot of attention. But to me, this thing really kicked up 4 years ago when she made the comment about the vaccine. And Mike, for whatever reason, our world has become so politicized.
Yep.
Everything is politics. Everything goes back to red versus blue, right versus left. It's and for Mulkey, to me, she was at Baylor when she made those comments, and you could sense the Q rating, the feeling, the vibe on her start to switch. And now, since she's been over at LSU the last 3 years, I mean, look, at her introductory press conference, she looked directly into the eyes of John Bel Edwards and took her mask and threw it up in the air and said, I don't do this. I don't wear masks. She knows by making those comments that that's going to bring some attention to her. I think that has been, you know, one of a few examples that has really, you know, given some fuel to people who may not agree with her. And that's what I anticipate the piece to be about. I'm like you. I don't know what's in it, but I could assume and take a couple of swipes of what's going to be in there and imagine they would be. But, you know, I think, you know, Kim is a little tired of the anonymous media. You know, there's going to be, I'd imagine, some anonymous sources within this piece. And I think you saw the reaction to that. But, I thought she handled it as well as she could have. She made a statement on Friday, and she was past it on Sunday and on to the Sweet 16.
She have a lot of people reading that Washington Post. I know that. Yeah. Washington Post ought to send us some gratuity off of that, because
that's right.
when that's going to come out of that. But, Jordy, I wondered a little bit. I was talking to Justin Payne, the Nicholls State women's basketball coach, and wondering, because once this broke with Pat Forte sort of putting a little piece out, something's fixing to go down pretty soon in Baton Rouge, I wondered how big of a distraction that would be to the team. And then yesterday, it wasn't a great first half, but, man, that's taken away from Middle Tennessee, who's not a bad team. You know, they gave it everything. Now, LSU squashed them from midway into the third quarter on. But just to look at it, and he made the comment to you, I think Middle Tennessee might give them some issues because they're a really good three-point shooting team. They're physical. They run the court well. But he said they're not real deep. He was 100% right on that. Once they started to get in foul trouble, you could see there was some issues. But the part about distraction, if it was a problem, it was a slight one.
No, I agree. And I figured that they would have their coaches back yesterday after Mulkey's comments in the press following Friday's win. And, you know, Mike, to me, that's the sign and definition of a good coach. You got three, really four personalities when you throw – you know, Flauge, Michaela Williams, Angel Reese, and Haley Van Lith into the pot. I mean, that's four as you know, different and outlying of personalities and players that you can find in an NIL world. And, you know, for Mulkey to still be as long in the game as she is, to experience the success that she has and still be able to motivate, relate, communicate, and teach those types of players and personality, I think that goes into a long line of compliments of to where she is on the trade. And, you know, Middle Tennessee, you could sense it after the game on Friday versus Rice that Mulkey and her staff were going to have their hands full with Middle Tennessee. And, you know, you mentioned it, the lack of depth was really kind of the death of the Raiders. But, you know, I thought LSU really attacked them well, especially in the second half.
Yes.
Flauge's really been the heartbeat of this team for the last couple of weeks, and I thought it was on full display yesterday. She hit a couple of runners into the lane and got to the free throw line and then hit an enormous three-pointer in front of a packed house that really shifted the momentum and put it on LSU's side. So, you know, these are some really nice tests here in postseason play. You know, even going back to the SEC tournament of that championship game versus South Carolina to the opening round game versus Rice to yesterday's action versus Middle Tennessee, you know, getting them ready to whoever wins between UCLA and Creighton and, you know, taking care of business there, a possible matchup with Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I think this team will be battle tested when they get to their next stops. And, you know, a lot like Middle Tennessee battling the depth problems, I think LSU is really trying to fight through and find their way through those issues here, getting into some, you know, some street fights. I mean, that game yesterday was a brawl and for LSU to run away with it like they did at the end of it, I thought was a really good sign.
LSU football practicing, kick back off again on Saturday, a little scrimmage. The thing I took out of that is a guy I saw, man, he was in high school, really good basketball player, very good football player from Thibodaux High School, Kyron Lacy. Yeah, I think he's starting to step up, Jordy. It took him a little while, and I think he lost some a little bit of confidence in his in his hands. But now, all of a sudden, now we see him making a bunch of big plays. And I've always thought he attacked the ball well. Sometimes he'll take a peek downfield to run with it before he catches it, and that's a bad habit. He got a break, but man, they might have another legitimate one there in Kyron Lacy.
He's been flashy, Mike. He's had his moments, but at times, like you said, I mean, he's been inconsistent. But what a point of view for now the senior and Lacy to sit back and have a chance to look at guys like Kayshawn Booty to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas to guys that have transferred in to newcomers that have shown up. And now, like you said, I agree, it's his time. He's gone through and really paid his dues, and now it's here for him to step in and take a number one role on an SEC team that's turning over the best, you know, the best offense in college football last season. He's the guy that's, you know, in line to take that step. And he's had a really strong spring. You talk to Cortez Hankton and Frank Wilson and some of the offensive guys, and they absolutely love him. You know, he's really embraced the leadership part of it from, you know, doing some of the stuff off the field that the young guys are taking notice of and being a leader by example rather than being, you know, just a big rah-rah guy that, you know, he's got that big personality and so easy to get along with, very, you know, easy to talk to and vibe with. It's just, you know, now he's putting in that work that Nabers and Thomas and, you know, these first-round picks he's seen up close to and seeing it pay off and understands the opportunity that he has. I think him and Nussmeier have got a really good piece of chemistry that they've had in working in practices and now taking it to Saturdays. I'm like you. I expect Lacy to really bust out this year and take that role. LSU's always got that dominant one. You know, they've always got that dominant guy, whether it's, you know, you're picking from a pack of them, but they've got that name that you always want to grab a hold to. And I think Kyron Lacy has a chance to be that guy offensively for LSU come this fall.
Jordy, hopping over to the Diamond, a 2-4 start for the Tigers in SEC play. I mean, that game on Saturday, Mike and I talked a little bit about it, was just brutal. You were one out away from a series victory over a top 6-ranked Florida bunch, and it's just really tough. And then you get run ruled for the second straight Sunday. Looking a little bit ahead, you have Southeastern tomorrow night, a team that you really struggled with in Hammond, but you pulled out a victory there. They're a really good squad as well, 17-7 this season. And then you travel to a huge series against the number one team in the country in Fayetteville against Arkansas, and what is likely the best weekend rotation pitching staff in all the country. So for a team that doesn't have much confidence right now, it doesn't get any easier, but they have to figure out a way to find it. What are your thoughts on this week with Southeastern Louisiana and then Arkansas this weekend?
Well, look, I mean, it's been rough the past two weekends for LSU as far as Sundays go. And I'm with you. You know, I mean, you go back to that Saturday night game to get that strikeout and not be able to execute the throw out at first base and then end up losing the game in extras is gut-wrenching. That is as brutal of a loss as you can have in the SEC, especially when you're talking about the series being on the line. But either way, LSU's got an issue on Sundays. And for them to be run ruled 2 weeks in a row, that's just not supposed to happen. It can't happen. And you could see it in Jay Johnson's face. I think that, you know, his getting ejected from that game yesterday was hoping to infuse a little bit of life into the squad. And he said it in the postgame press conference. It backfired on him. It didn't do the things that he wanted it to do. And that may be more concerning than the lack of offense. But, you know, Arkansas on the doorstep here for this weekend and going on the road, it's not ideal, obviously. But I still believe that this team is talented enough to compete at the highest level of the SEC. And, you know, something like this is maybe something that you need. You know, you go and you have a number one team in the country that's going to have everybody's attention, obviously, going into the matchup. And like I said, I believe in Jay Johnson. We talk a lot of football when I'm around Mike Dettillier, and when talking about football. I know Lane Kiffin's offense is going to produce. I know Sean Payton's offense is going to produce in football. I feel the same way about Jay Johnson's offense in baseball. I just think that he's too much of an obsessive offensive coach. He puts too much time and energy and resources into recruiting offensive players. He's the offensive coordinator of the team. I just expect him to get this right at some point. It's not ideal to get it right against the best pitching staff and maybe the top ace in America, but this lineup is talented enough to go into an environment like that and compete. And like I said, maybe this is something that they may need to get away from home and, you know, really get on the road and know that you gotta go in there and play for 36 innings or you have a chance of getting embarrassed. So I know that they have some things going on right now that they want to fix and get right. And I know that Jay Johnson, you know, is the guy that's going to figure that out. I still believe that this team is a possible top eight seed and, you know, has some postseason run in them.
The pieces are there. Right, Jordy? I mean, if you're looking at sure. what D1 Baseball has thought about this team, you lose 2-3 to Florida, but they know that game two was such a swing game, and they very well could have easily won that series. So they didn't drop them too far. They only dropped them to number 8 in the most recent poll. But at some point, you got to start producing. And I think that Absolutely. The offense has been an issue. It's been inconsistent at best. We've talked to a couple different listeners about it, a couple different reporters about it. And like inconsistency, the best word you could really give them. There are times where they just shut down. And we got a question from a listener, and I kind of gave my response. There needs to be some kind of a shakeup in the lineup. I know that Jay's played a bunch of different players early on in the season, but now you're an SEC play. You really have to find those pieces that are going to get you these wins and get you past like the 15-17 win mark in SEC play after a slow 2-4 start. I mean, Jay Johnson has to start experimenting, but he has to find the right pieces. And a couple of those, you know, heading into the season, I think one of the biggest keys was going to be the development of some of those sophomore players like Brady Neal and Paxton Kling and Jared Jones. Jones, we've seen the long ball been his strength all season long. Kling and Neal have been not too great, let's just say that. And I don't really want to call out any players by name, but something's got to change in this lineup, and Jay's really got to find the pieces that can get him to those SEC wins because they just haven't been there so far.
No, I agree with you. I think when you look at the Kling Brady Neal combo of that sophomore class, you really needed Kling to take that next step. You know, Brady Neal's had some high highs. He's just had some low lows as well here early on. I expect him to median out here, you know, at some point. He's too good of a hitter that he won't figure it out. Paxton Kling looks lost up there. You know, you almost feel bad for him in the sense of he just doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't seem like he's got his bearings to him. And, you know, right now he's just kind of battling some demons up there at the plate. And, you know, you feel like LSU's got to have him right because defensively he gives you so much. But you see how Jay Johnson continues to tinker with it, right? I mean, he sat Monster Milam yesterday. He had Jake Brown in the lineup over the weekend. It looks like he, you know, got banged up. He's constantly rotating his catchers. He's got Neal playing in the outfield. I'm with you. You know, I mean, I do believe he needs to have some things that shake up. I think that he understands that. I think he's trying to do that. I think he has, you know, pulled the trigger on that, and he'll continue to do it until he finds his best 9. But yeah, look, it's frustrating right now because you know they have the talent. You're just kind of waiting on them to walk through the door.
Jordy, thanks so much for joining us. One thing I can tell you, LSU gives us coverage 12 months out of the year.
How about that, huh?
365, baby. So you're in business that way. Tell everybody how they can catch you, Jordy.
Well, I appreciate it, Mike. Yeah, look, Pro Day's coming up later this week. There'll be a lot of NFL scouts and a lot of people in your trade and industry that'll be coming down to Baton Rouge to see what's going on with some prospects. You can hear us talking about it on our show, which is 7 to 9 a.m. on the New Orleans Football Radio, on the New Orleans Football Digital Network on YouTube, and 7 to 9 a.m. But the easiest way to find us is on social media. Whatever social media platform you're on, just search us at Colada Show, and you can keep up with all the content.
Jordy, get us a couple more interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, how about that spring transfer portal?
Yeah, we got to get that growing, baby.
Bo Davis will be scooping them up here in this next transfer portal.
I suspect. Thank you, Jordy. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Mike. See you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Jordy.
Jordy Collada from the Jordy Collada podcast does a great job covering LSU sports, baseball, basketball, women's basketball, football, you name it. He does a great job. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Charlie, no more hip drop tackle. I don't think you'll see a lot of penalties this year about it. There'll be more fines, but I think next year that's when you're going to see the penalties in that sort of adjustment period. And I think they got to do something to crank up the kickoff return game. It's such an exciting part of the game. They're just trying to find the right elements to get it going because they almost tried to take it away at times.
Yeah, I feel like we'll talk a little bit more about this hip drop rule because it's super important. I don't know like how.
Man, I wouldn't want to play
defense. Well, it's giving more rules to the officials to have to call flags. I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, and objectivity on exactly what would you call at that point. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.